Hey, everybody, it's Becky Davidson, and I want to welcome you to the Rising Above Ministries podcast. We are so glad you're joining us for this episode, and you are going to love getting to hear from the mom that I had a conversation with for this episode. Her name is Jess Ronnie, better known as Jess Plus the Mess. You may know her through her website and her blog that she writes, sharing her life as a mom to eight kids. Yes, I said eight, and one of the eight is Lucas, who is 16 and has profound special needs. And Jess is passionate about bringing awareness to what it's like for caregivers who are raising children with special needs to shine light on kind of coming behind the curtain and seeing the day-to-day trials and struggles and joys that come from raising a child with special needs. And so she's going to share her heart and her passion and some of the projects that she has coming up related to bringing awareness to caregivers and caregiver stress. So you're going to love getting to hear what she has to say. You know, we're in a season right now still with COVID-19 that's going on and where we have a heightened sense of isolation. More and more of us are staying home to keep our children who may be immune compromised out of crowds. You know, so often special needs parents feel isolated and feel alone and feel like no one sees them or gets their life. And we at Rising Above Ministries want to make sure that you know that you are seen, that you are valued, that you are loved. And we want to provide opportunities for you to come into community with other parents who get it. And so starting in September, right after Labor Day, we're going to be launching several online community groups through Zoom. We have some amazing teachers and leaders who are going to be leading these different groups, some of them based on books, some of them based on Rising Above studies. We have Lee and Sandra Peoples who will be leading a group for parents based on their book, Held. We also have Joe and Cindy Farini who will be leading a group on their book, Love Always, where they will be looking at special needs marriages and how to successfully navigate your marriage while raising a child with profound special needs. Rob Pierce, who's on staff with us here at Rising Above, will be leading a group for dads based on my late husband's book, Common Man, Extraordinary Call. So if you're a dad who's wanting to know how to love your family well, how to serve your family well, how to lead your family well, this is going to be a great class for you. I'm leading one on Sunday afternoons where we're just going to be going through different books of the Bible. Right now we're in Philippians and we're looking at ways of how to take the Word of God and how to apply it to our day-to-day life, how we can actually do what the Word of God tells us to do. So I'm excited about that. That group has already started and ongoing, and you can join in that group at any time. We have other groups that will be meeting using some of the Rising Above studies, one on resilient, based on what we talked about at By the Brook this year, plus so many more. So be sure to go to our website, risingaboveministries.org, and you can go to our community page and find a listing of all those groups and ways that you can sign up. You're not going to want to miss that, so you can be in community with other parents who get it and understand your life and encourage you on your journey as a special needs parent. So now, I can't wait for you to get to hear this conversation with Jess as she shares her heart and her passion for helping bring awareness to caregivers and how to come alongside and strengthen caregivers on this journey of raising children with special needs. Here's my friend Jess. Hey, Jess, thank you so much for joining us today for the Rising Above podcast. I'm so glad you're here, and I cannot wait to get to share some of your story today on the Rising Above podcast.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
You know, I was thinking back to how I heard about you. You and I were both guests on the Mama Bear podcast, and I remember before I was going to be on her show, I went back and I wanted to listen to some episodes. So I was going back, scrolling through the descriptions, and I saw your description. And when I saw you had lost your first husband and were a widow raising, children and a child with profound special needs, I was like, okay, I want to listen to her podcast. And so I did.
Familiar,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah. It's like, okay, wait a minute. Some of this is ringing true. So that's how I discovered you. And then I found out you were just down the road from me, not far at all down the road, in a town just about 100 miles away, probably. And then you came to our By the Brook retreat back in 2019. So we've actually gotten to meet face to face. So that's been fun.
Yeah, I love that retreat, and hopefully we can all meet again one of these days, and that would be wonderful.
Hopefully we will. That is, yes, we'll see what 2021 holds.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about your family and what your life is like. And it's a Gallatin, is that where you are? Are you in Gallatin?
I'm in Gallatin, about 30 miles outside of Nashville. We moved here about 2 years ago to pursue better resources for my son Lucas, who's 16 and has profound special needs. I am a mom of eight, a wife to my husband Ryan, who flips houses for a living, and I'm an author. I was just starting kind of a speaking career, and then COVID hit the world, so that's kind of on hold. Founder of a nonprofit, so we have that in common as well.
Yes,
And
yep.
about to be podcast host in about 2 weeks here. So
And
I
we'll
keep it
share
moving.
more about that. Yeah, we'll share
Right.
about that soon here before we end. But so I know that you're a writer. You have a website called Jess Plus the Mess. So where does that name come from, and kind of what do you share on your blog and on that website?
Well, that started about 10 years ago when I first married my husband, Ryan. And when Ryan and I were dating, I went to a Thanksgiving dinner with my family. And my uncle jokingly said, "Well, if you marry this guy who has three kids and you have four kids, it's going to be Jess Plus the Mess." And it stuck. And I thought, that's a good website name.
Yeah,
So
that's
I took
you're like,
it and,
thank you. Yeah.
right, that works.
Yeah.
And just ran with it. And for the first couple of years, it was just about blending our life together. And as time has gone on and I've sort of found my mission and my calling, it's morphed into more having to do with special needs and providing resources for caregivers. But I don't blog often, maybe once a month, but it's just sort of a landing place for my thoughts and where I'm going to be and what I'm doing. And you're going to get a lot more detail about me, I think, on my social media sites.
And we'll have all those added in the show notes so people can follow you and
Right.
keep up with what you're doing. So there's eight kids in your blended family, and your son, who is 16, Lucas, has profound special needs. So tell us a little bit about what life is like with Lucas, kind of what day to day looks like, and how that works with having eight kids.
Oh goodness. Quarantine was intense, and
Yeah.
now he's finally back in school full time within the past 2 weeks. So that has been a huge blessing. Life with eight kids. We're very structured. They're very independent kids. They range in age from 5 to 17. So we have two boys, Caleb and Tate, who are actually graduating this year. And I think for the next couple of years, it's going to kind of be boom, 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 boom as they fly the coop and go off to college. And part of me is like, is really sad about that reality. And part of me is like,
Yeah,
oh,
deep breath. Yeah.
right, deep breath. And then Lucas, when Lucas is in school and he has his structure and his typical routines, because he also has severe autism, so he likes those routines in place. He is a very pleasant child, but when you disrupt that schedule and remove those routines, he's not a pleasant child. And when quarantine hit a couple of months ago, we dealt with just excessive screaming all day long, which led us to finally looking at the possibility of putting him on medication for the first time in his life. And it was one of the best things we've done for him. Very low dose, But something about that medication, I believe, sort of quieted mm-hmm. the chaos in his mind. Mm-hmm. And we've seen his language just blossom wow. under this medication, and also blossom under it within quarantine, because his siblings spent a lot of time with him, interacting with him. And we also incorporated kind of peer buddy time with them, where mm-hmm. they would each do a 15-minute shift with Luke. And they really enjoyed that, trying wow. to get him to say new words and progress in different ways. So I don't know. I'm finally feeling a little bit of peace mm-hmm. now that he's back in school and back in his routine. And it was hard to like him for a while with all of the screaming. And yeah. I feel like I like him again. Mm-hmm. So that's good. And, you know, his needs include limited mobility. We have to help him in every aspect of his life. Limited verbal skills. He's incontinent, so a big 16-year-old man-child.
Right.
But like I said, he's really sweet again now that he has a structure and his routine back in place.
Yeah, it's amazing how the changes can affect our kiddos in so many unique ways, and you just never know. And who could have known what COVID-19 and quarantine, how that this was coming down the path for our world, you know?
And oh, yeah.
How do you navigate something you don't have a point of reference?
Oh, yeah. So special needs families, especially, I mean, it hit us upside the head.
Yeah. Because,
you know, my husband and I would say when Luke's in school, he has 7 or 8 people every single day meeting his needs,
right.
7 or 8 hour stretch of time. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden he was out of school and all of that fell on myself and my husband. And it was like, whoa, plus 7 other kids.
Right.
But we got through it and life goes on.
Yeah. Well, you know, you and I both know that when you have a family member who has a disability, it affects every single person in the family, and it affects them each one in a unique and different way. And so you've got, you know, Lucas with his issues, you've got then your 7 other children that you're trying to navigate, plus being married, trying to navigate all that. So how does that work in your family? What are some things you have found in your world to meet as best you can the needs of everyone? And how is it, you know, impacting everyone in your family? Okay, that's a loaded question, I know.
There's a lot of mom guilt, for sure. I never feel like I'm meeting everybody's needs.
Right.
We spent our entire weekend, my husband and I, talking with our teenage boys about issues. And it feels like we're always addressing issues. And I guess that's what parents do. There's a lot of communication. And I think that's where we try to get it right, is to constantly have those open lines of communication mm-hmm. with our kids and to have a lot of fun with them too. You know, weekends we'll often do pizza parties on the patio. We bought a disco ball and we turn up the music, and Luke loves music. And I have a wood fire pizza oven that Ryan got me for my birthday. And we make homemade pizzas and the kids dance and Luke sways his head to the music and, you know, just moments like that. Mm-hmm. We are home a lot because of Luke's profound needs.
Right.
So I think often people look at our life and think, gosh, 8 kids, there's no way you can possibly meet all of those needs. And on one hand, yes, it is a lot. But on the other hand, we are home a lot
yeah.
together because it's hard to take Luke places. So we do try to make those meaningful family connections within the confines of our house. And, you know, our teenagers feel a lot of freedom to invite their friends over for barbecues. And it's, I don't know, like I said, there's a lot of mom guilt, however you look at it.
Well, I think though, you've come up with some ways to continue to have fun as a family. And just, I think we have to just adapt. If I think so often we get stuck in that, looking at Facebook, everybody else's Facebook life and what they're able to go and do. And when we get in that comparison trap of going, well, we don't get to do that. I mean,
right.
I spiral so quickly.
Oh, I do too.
You know, yeah. If I'm starting to see what other people are doing, and I so often have to just go, nope, no Facebook. I can't compare my life to somebody else's life. And so it sounds to me like you have found ways to make it work for you guys.
We have, and our teenagers are really helpful too. I think often with a child with profound special needs, you know, and just comparing my situation with yours, I have teenagers who are very capable of watching Lucas for a couple of hours. If Ryan and I want to go for a hike at the state park or go get a coffee somewhere, and they're happy to do that. I mean, we pay them, but they know Luke better than most caregivers would even know or understand Luke. So we do have some freedoms in that, and we do make it a priority to have that time away from the kids as well every once in a while, just to regroup. And we need that. The kids need that. That helps us in our situation.
So that's wise words there. You find a way to make the time for each other. And I love that about special needs parents, because I think that's one thing that we are really good at is, you know, there's a problem and we're going to find a solution or a way around it. And not most of the time, not stay stuck in that place of woe is me. So that I think those are some.
We're a scrappy bunch.
Yes, exactly. And that kind of goes into my next thing. It's a quote from your website, and you say on your website in your bio, "I strive to cultivate joy in the mundane messiness of life." So I love that. What does that look like in your world as you're raising 8 kids and have a husband?
I think it's in lines with what I was just talking about, recognizing that self-care is a big part of what I need as a woman and as a full-time caregiver in order to function optimally for my family. And then, you know, breaking that down into what brings me joy. And I think self-care for me isn't even like the typical things like journaling, or I know, which is odd because I'm a writer, but that's like my job. But self-care for me is asking what brings you joy and then following through on that. And those are moments of like hikes at the state park with my husband. We love to do that, and we come home very refreshed. And even in the midst of the family time, going back to those pizza parties, I mean, we're all laughing, and so much research about how laughter can boost your spirits, and we're cutting up with each other and, you know, making pizzas. And so it's just embracing those moments, and not only embracing them, scheduling time for those moments of connections, scheduling time for that massage or that yoga session or whatever that looks like for you as a caregiver, consistently incorporating it into your life so that you can have that joy bubbling up in your spirit, and you're not worn out and burnt out, and you know you don't want to do this for another day. So recognition is the first part of that for sure.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, so often, you know, I hear so many special needs moms especially just go, I don't have time to breathe, let alone do anything for self-care. But I think if when we get to that place of realizing, when I do this one little thing for me, it's actually benefiting everybody else that I'm around. And so it's so hard to get that message through. And so that's part of what you're doing. And we'll talk about that through your Lucas Project here in just a minute. But one of the things, you know, we talked about early in this conversation was I found you because of the podcast, the Mama Bear podcast. Our stories have some similarities to them in that we were both caring for a child with profound special needs, but also caregivers for our late husbands for seasons. And that's a whole different ballgame. You know, when you're caring for a child with profound special needs, and then on top of that, you're caregiving for your spouse who is very, very ill and very, very sick. And what was that like for you? And then how has that impacted the way now that you see caregiving and the importance of taking care of the caregiver?
And caring for a newborn baby in my situation.
Okay, and so, yeah, I didn't have that one for sure.
But. Like, I look back on that period and even read some of what I wrote, and I did not handle that very gracefully. There was a lot of anger. But after a lot of self-reflection too, I understand why there was a lot of anger, because anger fueled me and gave me that oomph to get up one more day and go through the mundane, you know, grittiness of what that entails. And you understand what that entails as well. I mean, it's medication for your husband and your child. It's diapers, possibly for both. It's helping both get in and out of the bathtub because they're not capable of that anymore. So for about a year of my life, it was just getting up one more day and going through the motions and raging a lot at the end of the day at God. Question.
I was going to say, who were you raging at?
At the Lord.
No, I know. I did the same thing. Yeah.
Screaming in the shower. This isn't fair. Why is this my life? Why would you do this to me with four children and a husband who's dying? But I believe God can handle our questions. He
Absolutely.
Can handle wrestling. I never deserted my faith. I still had faith that He was God and I was not. And that's how I ended the days. You are God and I am not. Mm-hmm. I don't like it, but it's what it is. And He proved faithful. After a couple of months after Jason passed away, there was faithfulness there. So I wasn't left to care for four children under 7 years old by myself, including Lucas. And he knew I needed somebody to step into that role. And, you know, I met Ryan pretty quickly, and he was a widower as well with three young children. And we've been married now for almost 10 years. So there was faithfulness there.
Wow. Yeah, it's amazing when you can kind of, I think when you're in the throes of it, you can't think, you can't see straight. It's like you said, it's just get up and do what you've got to do that day. And then when you can look back at that time and you can see God's faithfulness even through all of the craziness. But I remember the moment for me after Jeff died when it was like, okay, I've still got you. This is not what you wanted, but I'm going to use this for great good. And even through the pain and the heartache. Mm-hmm. But I love how you've taken that and now you are pouring that into helping caregivers, helping people know how to help those of us who are caregivers. You wrote a blog I saw on your website, Simple Ways to Support Special Needs Caregivers. So what are some of the things that you wrote about? What are some of those simple ways that someone else can come alongside a caregiver and help someone who's doing this life day in and day out?
I think you had to dig deep for that one.
Hey.
Like I wrote that one a while ago.
I researched.
Right. I think going back to what you said too about caregivers aren't very good at taking care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that people can use me. Like Jess has eight kids and she prioritizes this. So
yes.
I don't have any excuses. And
yes,
prioritize self-care in their own life, but in ways that other people can come alongside caregivers. I think it's as simple as bringing a meal.
Yes.
A conversation with somebody yesterday
who
was struggling with ways to provide respite for caregivers, especially during this COVID thing that we have going on. And mm-hmm. I said, you know, I think we just have to kind of reframe what the idea of respite is right now, because for moms of children with special needs or dads or whatever, even respite from having to make a meal for a night is fantastic.
Huge.
Because
our
to-do lists are miles and miles and miles long. And if we can just check that off our to-do list, don't have to make a meal, that's awesome. And we're so grateful for that. And some other ways people have really helped me, kind of out of the box ways. I've had people mow my lawn. I've had people do weeding for my flower beds, house cleaning, laundry. I had one person offer to take all of my kids to go get haircuts before school started.
Wow.
Just, you know, think outside the box. Obviously, respite is always wonderful, and we would love for you to watch our children, but if that's not a comfortable option, there are so many other ways that you can also help families like mine and yours.
Yeah. And I love the thought that thinking outside the box and, you know, so often when we are in the throes of caregiving, for people to come to us and say, what do you need? Well, I can't in that moment go, what do I need?
Right.
And so it's so nice to have to teach people the language of how you can come to someone and go, okay, I love Sandra Peoples talks about this in her caregiving stuff as well. It's about, you know, I'm making this dinner would you like some? You know, or can I bring you some? I had a friend who did that about a month ago, and she said, "Hey, I've made an extra casserole. I'm gonna drop dinner off on your front porch." It wasn't, "Hey, what would you like?" or "What can I do for you?" It was a very specific.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I've got. I'm gonna come drop this off at you know, on your porch. And I cannot tell you what a blessing that chicken and rice casserole was to me.
It's huge.
You know, it's huge.
Just to be seen. That's all we want. Yes. You know, a lot of the times, like I mentioned, we're holed up in our houses because it's really difficult to get out.
Yes.
With our kids with profound special needs. So we are holed up and we're forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
Just see us. Like, or, I mean, if you cut hair for a living, offer to show up in their house.
Yes.
And cut hair. If you're a masseuse.
Yeah.
Come give me a massage.
Right here.
My
yeah,
house,
exactly.
You know? Just think about what your skills are and your talents. And I'm sure there are caregivers who would desperately need whatever you have to offer.
And I think, you know, along the lines of like single moms, you know, I've been a single mom now 3 years and solo parent. And you don't, just the little things like in my house that need, like I have things that'll come up that need to be fixed. And it's,
right.
You know, to have someone, and I do, I have some people come into my house this weekend. They're going to come take care of some of the issues I have and things like that. So I think you're right. Look at what your skill set is. What is it that you, if cooking a meal, you know, if it's cutting someone's lawn, if it's coming in and doing simple repairs in someone's home, that is such a blessing and a way to bring that you're seen. That's what I say so often. It's like our families, like you said, we just want to be seen and acknowledged, that especially in this time of, even we're already isolated as it is, but when you throw in now with COVID-19 and some, you know, we haven't been going hardly anywhere,
right?
You just feel even more and more isolated. Even as simple as a text of saying, "Hey, I thought about you. I see you."
Yes.
And it just acknowledge that we are still here, you know.
Right. Yeah, I had some guys show up too after Jason died and just did like piddly little handy guy stuff that I'm not skilled in that area at all. But it's like, that was huge just to be able to mark those things off. Okay, yeah. They've been fixed and I can get on with my life.
Exactly. It's huge. There's little, and it's not that big a deal to the person who that's their skill set.
Right.
To be able to do that. And then yet the blessing that it is on both ends, both people are blessed by it. So I think that's great. Find what your skill set is and find someone who you can bless with. And I think that's
amazing. Any masseuses out there listening?
Yeah, exactly.
Hire.
Exactly.
Your number willing is, and able.
Yeah. Yeah. You can be contacted through your website.
Right.
Exactly. So you have started something called the Lucas Project, obviously named after your son, Lucas. And so when I read the website, you've got the three R's,
mm-hmm.
recognition, resources, and respite. So walk us through the Lucas Project, why you wanted to start this nonprofit, and kind of what you bring to the table in the terms of caregiver support.
Well, Lucas was never supposed to be born. At my 20-week ultrasound appointment for him, I was told that he had suffered a stroke in utero and that he would surely die. And it was recommended that I terminate and try again. My husband, Jason, and I did not go that route, but we had faith that God would watch over our baby. And Lucas was born. And after his birth, I knew that I wanted to start a nonprofit someday in his honor called the Lucas Project. Mm. So it started 16 years ago.
Wow.
God planted this seed in my heart. But 16 years ago, I would have said it would be for the children someday, helping
yes.
the children
right.
live better lives. In 2013, Ryan and I moved our family out to rural Tennessee, very, very rural. And as Lucas continued to grow in age and go through puberty and become more aggressive, we started to feel extremely isolated and panicky and stressed because there weren't any resources. There weren't churches with special needs ministries. There weren't respite centers. There weren't nonprofits doing anything associated with special needs or caregivers. And my husband, Ryan, ended up in ER twice with panic attacks that resembled heart attacks.
Wow.
Because it was just getting so isolating and stressful. And that's when we decided to start the Lucas Project. But instead of focusing on the children, it was going to focus on the caregivers. And we opened a chapter in Savannah, Tennessee, where we provided a monthly respite day completely free of charge to the child with special needs and all the siblings. And those were five-hour segments of time so that the parents could completely take a break for a couple of hours. And then we moved, and it was like, well, we can't just start chapters wherever we go. You know, who knows where we're going to land. And so we expanded the mission to include recognition, resources, and respite. The recognition arm now includes a documentary project that we're working on called Unseen, Exploring the Mental Health Crisis Among Caregivers. Mm-hmm. And we have that that we've partnered with two local filmmakers to make. And then the podcast, Coffee with Caregivers, which will go in depth and sort of peel back the curtain and really look into the lives of what goes on behind the scenes, I think, in caregiving. Resources right now include spa baskets. We, just to say, I see you to different caregivers. Here's a spa basket. Maybe take a little bit of respite right in your home. And it's not a huge gesture, but again, we see you.
Yes.
We love you and we're praying for you. And then respite, we've just decided to offer $1,000 startup grants to communities who are interested in starting their own respite chapter. Part of that came just from not feeling comfortable starting respite wherever we mm-hmm. landed. And then part of it was like there's a lot of liability to yes. doing respite. Yeah. So communities interested have that opportunity to then receive a $1,000 grant from the Lucas Project.
And all of this is on your website for the Lucas Project. Yes. And that, what's the web address for?
Lucasproject.org.
Okay. And we'll have that link in our show notes. And so you can go check that out if you want more information on what resources are available there. Now, one of the things I've noticed, you tag everything, just keep living. So tell yes. where that came from and what that means.
Just Keep Living came from when Jason was in his final year of life battling brain cancer. And I was snuggled up on the couch with my four kids watching Nemo. Is that the name of the movie? Finding Nemo.
Yeah.
And Dory and my husband was in the other room, not moving much at this point. And I have this newborn baby, Lucas, who has profound special needs, my 3-year-old daughter, and 6-year-old son, Caleb. And Dory swims past on the TV screen, and she's singing, you know, just keep swimming, just keep swimming. And the Lord just dropped it into my heart. You just keep living.
Mm.
And that stuck with me through those remaining couple of months until Jason passed away, and just kind of became this resounding theme. Just keep living. You have a choice. You can wallow in the despair and in the muck, or you can rise up and start taking one step after another and move towards something in your life.
Wow. Okay. I got cold chills on that one. I love that. No, seriously. And I think for so many parents, especially when you first get that diagnosis, you do feel like your world's falling apart and you feel like, you know, you have no clue, obviously, what your world's going to look like. But what a great, well, yeah, keep living and keep moving forward. And so now I'm glad to know where that came from, because I've seen that, you know, that's been your tag on so many things. And that is beautiful. So tell us, you've got a lot of things coming up. So tell us what you have coming up. And I know you've got a book you're working on. What's that going to be about? And what is that? When is that set to come out?
That I have an October deadline. So about another month here. And then that will be released next summer. It's a collection of stories from blended life and special needs life and just things that have worked for us and not worked for us. A very vulnerable peek inside my life for the past 10 years. And it's been fun to write, and I'm excited for that. What else do I have coming out? My podcast.
The podcast. You've got the podcast. So tell about the podcast and when that's coming out.
Coffee with Caregivers. That will be releasing September 14th. And today I'm actually putting out a couple of graphics for consideration. So hopefully my audience can help me narrow down the best graphic for that. But I've really enjoyed my interviews with different caregivers on the podcast. It's been like free therapy for me, just talking with other moms who get it and yes. are willing to dive deep and sort of, again, peel back that curtain and allow the general public to mm-hmm. see, because I think if we don't get honest about our realities, we're not going to get the resources we need.
Absolutely.
So we need to start to let society in a little bit. Mm-hmm. Say, this is really hard sometimes, and I really need some support. And I think churches really need to start stepping it up too, and putting their arms around these families and lending a hand.
I could not agree more. I think that's one of the things that I've seen during this time. There's so many families who are so disconnected already, even before mm-hmm. The quarantine and this season that we've been in. And it's made me even more aware of the need of bringing awareness to our special needs community, what our lives are like. Because I think it's not that people don't want to help. It's not that people don't have a heart for our families. They simply, I think, truly do not know. And if you don't know and you're not sure what to do, you know, our life can be a little scary looking sometimes.
Yeah, it can. My husband Ryan and I say that, you know, Luke can look kind of scary to an outsider. Mm-hmm. He's screaming, and if he gets mad, he's headbanging. But if you're around him enough, you realize this kid is really pretty simple. And as long as he has his iPad and, you know, a clean diaper and food, he's probably easier than some of our other kids.
Yeah, agreed. And the same with my son. You know, we'll be dropping down the road and he loves to rock. And, you know, he'll be in the seat just rocking back and forth. You know, people are staring mm-hmm. and looking. And again, it's kind of like we're going to set the tone for how people are going to respond to that, you know. So, you know, I just laugh and I laugh with them and we just, you know, go, come on, buddy.
Right.
But I think people, if I were to have seen that and I'm not a special needs parent, yeah, it's going to be a little,
right.
You know for sure what to do. But I think that's the list that you're bringing awareness, showing the day-to-day, what it's like behind the curtain, kind of in our homes, to bring awareness to that. Now, the other thing you talked about was your documentary. You mentioned that briefly. Share just a little bit more in depth about what that's going to look like, when that's coming out.
That is called Unseen, and it's just exploring the mental health crisis of caregivers. We are going to dive deep into four or five families, and each family will have a theme. With something that they struggle with. So like we mentioned, isolation, mm-hmm. diving deep into how and why this particular family feels isolated and how that's contributing to anxiety, stress, PTSD, you know, depression, mm-hmm. which these statistics are really high with caregivers. Yes. I believe they say 40 to 70% of caregivers report feelings of depression. But as a caregiver, that's even difficult to admit, because you understand that there's nobody to take your place.
Exactly.
So this is our response to all of those horrific news stories that we all see. And yes. we're like, oh, how could they, when they either harm their child or mm-hmm. they harm themselves, because there was nothing, nobody helped them. There weren't any resources. And they just looked at their life and said, this is never, ever going to end. Mm-hmm. So this film is our response to that crisis. And hopefully, again, this will be a very honest, vulnerable portrayal of what it's like as a caregiver to a child with profound special needs. And hopefully it will start these conversations mm-hmm. towards more resources, or whether that comes from, you know, the national level, the state level, or the churches. Again, churches have to step up mm-hmm. and start providing more help to these families.
And when is that set to come out?
We filmed the trailer last Saturday. And once we have the trailer in place, we're going to really do a push towards fundraising.
Perfect.
So, I mean, when you make a documentary, you need a lot of money.
You got to have funding to make it happen.
So as soon as that trailer is in place, you'll start to see different marketing
for that.
Start to raise money for that.
Perfect. Well, I think that's exciting, and I can't wait till that comes out. And it's just going to be another tool to use to show what the realities and the stresses of this life is like. And, you know, you talked about those stories, the horrific stories that we've all seen of families, moms who have hurt themselves or their child. And I think so often, again, it goes back to that isolation, the feeling of no one sees me. No one cares.
Nobody cares. And my heart breaks for those caregivers.
That are in that, and they're all, they're everywhere. They're everywhere. And so I think, you know, the church standing up, coming in and coming alongside these families, you bring in awareness, it's going to just help more and more families. So thank you for what you're doing with that and your heart for caregivers. Now, we end every one of our podcasts with the one thing. So what would be the one thing that you would say to these parents that we're talking about, these caregivers who are feeling stressed, who are feeling overwhelmed, who are feeling like nobody sees me? What would you say to them, who are those ones who are just on the edge and feel like nobody even knows that I'm here?
I think often it begins with telling the truth. I think as caregivers, we hide behind this perception that everything is just fine. And I did that for years as well, because I had my miracle baby. Lucas was never supposed to live. So how dare I say, you know, this doesn't feel very miraculous or blessed as he's screaming at me 24/7. And once I started to get honest and tell my truth, and when people would say, do you need help, rather than saying, no, I'm fine, saying, yes, I need help, I'm not doing very well, if you could come and sit with my kids for a couple of hours, or if you could bring me a meal. When I think when people reach out, recognize what your true need is, and don't hide behind this, I'm fine, everything's fine,
because
it's not, you know, start to tell the truth. And I think the more people, the more caregivers who begin to tell that truth, it will be like a cacophony that will spur forth change. And society is not going to change as long as we hide and stay isolated.
That is so good. That is so good. No, that is so good. And that's true, because I think we all, it's hard to admit that you need help. It's hard to admit that you don't have it all together, and that, but that's where the beauty comes. When I bring to the table what I have to offer, you bring to the table what you have to offer, and we work together. And yes, speak the truth about your life, the good, the bad, the ugly. Don't just put the Facebook, you know, highlight reel of everything is sunshine and roses. We had a massive meltdown today. I was cleaning poop. No, I'm not saying me today, but I'm just saying you're being real in your life. You know, if your kids had a meltdown, or if you're cleaning up poop off the ceiling again, or whatever it is, to be open and raw and real about the realities of our life. And I think, you know, I don't have a problem doing that with my fellow special needs moms. I can be raw and real and tell them like it is, but it's going outside that circle and sharing that reality where it gets tricky. So I think that's great. So you teach us how to do that, okay?
It does get tricky, because I've shared my reality as well, and sometimes it's taken out of context.
Yes.
And, you know, one example of that is we have a safety bed for Lucas, this $6,000 safety bed that insurance approved to keep him safe at night. Well, I took a picture of Lucas in it once, and some of the comments I received about keeping my son in a cage had me like backing up about 50 steps and going, oh, but we all need to share like more of these realities, because then it becomes a normal thing that society is aware of. Like, oh, they see that picture. Oh, that's a safety bed. That's to keep, you know, children with severe autism safe at night. But they don't even know, because we don't even provide those little glimpses into our life. But there's fear on our end too, because we certainly don't want like the police at our door. Why are you keeping your kid in a cage? So there's a fine line, you know, between telling the truth and maintaining your peace.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate all you're doing and to bring awareness to caregivers and to what our life is like. And I appreciate so much you taking time today to have this conversation with me. And I can't wait to see how the film comes out and your podcast that you have coming out. So it'll be great to follow you in coming up, just to see what all the wealth of knowledge you have to share with us.
I don't know about that.
Well, so we're excited. So we appreciate your time, and I appreciate you sharing with us today.
Thank you for listening to the Rising Above Ministries podcast. We would like to thank Jimmy Thorpe and Patrick Mayberry for providing the music for our podcast today. If you like what you hear, please take a minute to leave us a rating and review. This helps others like you find our content more easily. You can learn more about how Rising Above Ministries is encouraging the special needs community by checking out our website at risingaboveministries.org or by finding us on Facebook and Instagram. We look forward to connecting with you.